You're listening to the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Hello, I'm Pastor Jerome Ryan, the founder and CEO of the Love Center. We've been serving the region for over 30 years, helping families rebuild their lives. We're expanding our services. The Workforce Discipleship Center, providing housing for the working class homeless. Yes, repeat, for the working class homeless, for single men and single women. We are offering financial literacy and strategies along with spiritual discipleship. For more information, please call the Workforce Discipleship Office at 772-207-6925. Again, 772-207-6925. Our staff is waiting to assist you or someone you know.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Kingdom Recovery. I'm Luann Linneken, and the co-host here is...
James Wrench.
Hi, James.
Hello.
Okay, so I want to say hi. How is everybody today? But by the way, you can call in at 772-221-1100. You can call into the station if you'd like to talk with James and myself. If you'd like to discuss any of our discussions that we've had in the past, and we are on step 12 still. We talked a lot about love, God's love, the unloving spirit, and now we're going to talk about the spiritual awakening that occurs during the process of, we get a spiritual awakening when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But this is a result of the steps, is really understanding the new man identity and walking in the new man identity, not just being born. And it's not, when I say not just, like minimizing it, because it's a big deal to be born again. However, we can be born again and not walk in the promises and the benefits of being born again, because we're not submitting to the Holy Spirit, who is indwelling us, and he wants to infill us daily. So if we don't walk with him and talk with him and let him lead and guide us into all truth and be obedient to his direction, which is from the Father and the Son, then we miss out. We aren't partakers, and we should be, because he did it for us so that we can partake in the promises and in the yes and amen of his word. So before we do that, like I said, you can call in. And if you have any questions, if you need prayer, and also we started our Zoom program, on Saturdays at 9. You can call me at 631-745-7980. I also encourage people to go on the Treasure Coast Victory Center website, and we have a daily reading every day. Pastor Tom does a daily reading description, and it is really, this past week has been on the old man, cast off, throw him away, and live in the new man identity. So it goes along with the 12th step, which we are going to talk. So I might read one of them, because I print them every day. I think they're very, it's good food. We need good food, right, James?
Yep.
Amen. So also the Workforce Discipleship. I know I got a lot going on. Sorry, everybody. But this is really good stuff, because it's God extending the branches so that we have love connections in the community for people who are in need. So Workforce Discipleship is one of those places. Treasure Coast Victory Center is one of those places. We call it a center because it's a learning center to learn how to live in the kingdom with a kingdom mindset. So I suggest and recommend and encourage people, if you haven't found a church, you can listen online or you can come there. And it's in Fort Pierce. And it's actually at 3212 US 1, and that's Treasure Coast Victory Center. And then the Workforce Discipleship is also in Fort Pierce, and it's for the working homeless, men and women. We have a women's apartment and a men's section. So, and I'm the person that you would talk with and meet in the women's. I run the women's department. So if you know someone or if you're struggling yourself, you can call me or you can call Workforce Discipleship at 772-207-6925. And again, you can always call the station if you need more information. I love that. You know me, I'm about rhymes. Okay. Okay, so step 12 is having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, the first 11 that we were doing that we had done on, and we did them in great detail. Matter of fact, we're on step 12 for the first time in, we're going on 3 years. I think we're fully two. We're in our third year. So it took us that long because we had topics in between. I mean, this is really rich and educational and informative and spiritual growth for people who listen. And it's really all Christ-driven and led because it's scriptural. The foundation is all in the scripture. And everything that God puts me into, right, I look for him. So, like, even when I was in the rooms many years before I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Now, I knew about Jesus Christ. I had some kind of faith. It was a traditional kind of faith. It was a world-like kind of faith. But when I finally stepped out and surrendered and accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and saw him as God, my life changed. Even in the rooms, everything changed. In my family, in my finances, everything. Because it's about letting the Holy Spirit lead and guide you and developing that relationship. And when you start with step one, and this is why we're going to go back, but we have some topics to go into before we get back to step one. Step one is about knowing who Jesus is. Who do you say I am, he says. Not the world, because I was looking at Jesus the way the world did, and I had to get personal, up close and personal with Jesus, face to face, right? And I did, and I surrendered. And then step two is really receiving the power, because I'm powerless in step one, but as soon as I receive Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, he endures me with the power, the Holy Spirit power, to be able to step on serpents, to lay hands on the sick, to do all the things that I've been struggling my whole life to feel secure and everything. And he provides all my needs. And then step three is the total surrender of my will and my life over to Father God, the love of God, the care of God. But if I don't truly do that, I'm going to be struggling in areas of my life. If ever I'm in a struggle, it's because I'm not surrendering something. I'm not in truth. I'm believing some kind of lie. And I'm trying to hold on to a false prophecy in my head. Maybe somebody said it. Maybe I read it. Maybe I want to interpret it the way I want to fit my needs. It's because the self, the I, self, me, ism, wants to be above God. So do you have anything you want to add to that, James, before we start?
Well, I call them like landing strips. That's where the enemy hits us. We all have landing strips that we developed. And if you don't have a landing strip, he can't land.
Amen. So step 12.
A landing strip is an ungodly belief.
Right. That's right. And step 12 is hopefully by this time you are familiar where the landing strips are and you don't go try to land on them or have anything land on them. You are free of those things because it's hard to help. It says, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message, and it's the message of love. It's the message of Jesus Christ, right? What he's already done for us to others. And the fact that God tells us to be of sound mind, to be sober-minded, vigilant. And it's so important because the principles of AA are the foundational principles of God's word, his will for us. If we follow the directions of our creator, if we buy a product, right? We're God's product. And we don't read the directions, we can't use that product fully, and we probably can't even get an extended warranty because we're abusing it, you know. And if you do get the extended warranty, you probably won't need it. Because so we want to go to God, our creator, and read the directions, which is the Bible, that he's given us so that we operate properly, cooperate properly, right?
Amen.
Amen. So as a result, we carry the message and to practice these principles in all our affairs. So it's telling us that we have to bring love, peace, joy, all the fruit of God, God's character in everything we do, God's will, God's direction, God's order in all the things that we do. So even in the program, when you put down whatever it is, it could be any, and I say 12-step program, we talk about I'm powerless over blank and my life is unmanageable. I could be powerless over my kid sometimes and my life becomes unmanageable because I'm trying to do something that's not for me to be doing. I need to let it go and find out what God says about it and trust in the Lord that my son is his, or if it's alcohol, I'm using something to try to fulfill a personal need. And only God can do that. So if it is a child, it's because if I'm struggling with that, it's because I'm trying to get something met in myself. And the same thing happened with alcohol, money, sex, promiscuity. I was trying to fulfill a self-desire to feel good, safe, wanted, loved, secure. All these things that, you know, we've gone through with all the steps to lead us, to teach us and guide us with Christ in the center, instead of being self-centered, we're Christ-centered today. And that's why step 12 is that last step, because if I'm not Christ-centered, and we talked about that in the last step, 11th step, getting myself out and putting God in, I can't help effectively another human being. And when I say I can't help effectively, it's because I'm not using God's love and God's peace and God's joy and God's resources. I'm trying to manipulate and do it my way to get something for myself. So we want to be able to shift into Christ-minded, God-centered, not self-centered.
And people can tell if you're loving them or in a religious spirit. And even when you're loving them, people will still bite your head off. But if you're not loving them, they'll know it. You know, if you're going to minister to people, you need to love people.
Right. But there are sick people will take any kind of love. They won't, you know, they can be easily deceived. So we have to be genuine and pure in heart when we have to check our motives and our heart. Because I was easily fooled. I believe people love me even when I was being abused because they told me. I did it because I love you. I don't want anybody else to have, like, all those lies. And the matter of fact, it was, to me, I was so distorted, it was almost flattering. Like, oh, well, he loves me. It's okay, I have a black eye. It's evidence of his love, you know? So we have to check our hearts. I mean, we're not that extreme, especially, you know, but we have to check ourselves when we're going to help another person. And that's the 12-step call. We call it a 12-step call when we're going to, you know, surrender our needs for someone else's needs. Hallelujah, to help somebody else. So a call to help others. By going through the first 11 steps, we should have a measure of spirituality, a relationship with God. We should have, by this time, a nice measure of relationship. Now, we're not perfect, nobody's saying, but we could be our most excellent way with the Lord. Okay, and he knows that too. He's patient and tolerant and merciful on us.
Well, and pouring out of an overflow and helping people versus trying people to, with a spirit of rejection bad, you know, that's their whole identity is helping someone, and that's the whole thing that gives them joy, but they're miserable normally, and they get off when they're trying to correct, because when the person doesn't do what they're telling they need to do, then they start getting into control, and it just gets to be a big mess, and they don't understand why, and they get into rejection and really mad.
Amen.
Whereas if you're in love, you're able to just give them the truth, and when they don't listen and you got to watch them suffer, you don't go, well, they should have listened. You go, you pray the whole time, like, Lord, please don't let this impact be bad on them, because you know they're fixing to do something bad.
Yeah. I had to go through something today similar to that, you know, offering someone a better, a more appropriate level of care. And they were not really receiving very well. But I had to separate myself, and that's the thing. You know, it's an offer if you choose not to. I'm not going to, you know, force anybody to do anything that they don't want to do. But it's a separation because, you know, especially being someone in the field, like, you know, a counselor, therapist, all these things, you want to fix people. And thank God I got free of that.
Yeah, you'd still be there.
Oh, my Lord. Right, I'd be now. Like, I can't make it until the right hour. I have to do. I was like, listen, I have to go. And I made sure that there were people there to guide her and help her through it. But, you know, I just pray for her, like you're saying, you know, that she does take the offer. So so in the 11th step, we should have a measure by this time in the 12th step through the 11th step, the first 11 with God. This step clearly tells us that we should have had a spiritual awakening, a born-again experience by this time. Now, we talk about spiritual experiences and awakenings. And listen, for me, the way it was interpreted to me through the Holy Spirit, and it makes sense because I'm identifying with my life, so it's not for everybody, maybe. Maybe you can identify. Spiritual awakening for me was a true acceptance of Jesus Christ, not only the confession with my mouth, but the believing in my heart that he's my Lord and Savior. My Lord was the big thing because I was the boss of my life. And nobody was going to tell me I was powerless, blah, 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 blah. But he could be my Savior because I want a Savior. Everybody wants a Savior. But as far as Lord, I didn't understand the concept. I mean, I did understand the concept without understanding the concept that Lord is the owner of all and no one was going to be the owner of me. And I had that, and I suffered for it for a long time, even without some negative behaviors. I still suffered because I wasn't giving my life to God, like to be centered in God. So that's, hopefully it spoke to somebody. So, and so for me, the awakening was a true awakening of accepting Jesus, not only as my Savior, but as my Lord, owner of all things. And it was a process. It's still a process. Sometimes, listen, if the light's in me and I walk in an area of my house, I might glow an area that I didn't know was there. What door is that? Then I go in. You know, the light is in me now. So there's going to be some illumination in areas that I am prepared.
She needs in her heart.
In my heart, correct. Because maybe a year ago, I wasn't as close to that door yet. So I didn't see it because I was dealing with other things. So God's always growing us to new levels, new depths, new widths with him. Our territory is growing in our heart. Yes. Okay, so the experience is, I've had experiences my whole life, and I'm sure there will be people identifying with this. I mean, I can remember things when I was actively using freebasing. You know, like things would go down, and I had just left, and there's like a raid. I mean, I'm probably dating myself, aging myself, but yeah. And everybody's like, "Oh my God, you're so lucky," and I'd be like, "Yeah." You know, but I think about it today because God, he never tells us to go back there, but he might bring the back in front so you can see where he's been your whole life. You know, I've had several of them that I shared where he's like, I remember myself standing on certain things or looking at certain things or saying certain things. He's like, yeah, well, that was, you know, my hand in that. And he is, because he's always pursuing us. He's always around us. The Holy Spirit is all around us all the time. Now, am I willing to let him in and dine in me, with me? That's the question. And that's what God wants. He wants to be in us. Okay, so, and that's an experience. And I've had them even when I was in my worst places in life.
I did too.
Right. So the awakening is a true awakening of your innermost being. And then things start to, you start to get conviction that you've never, I mean, yeah, you know, good and bad, and you feel, not by guilt. You don't get conviction by guilt. You get it by love, actually. It's a difference. It's a shift that happens when you get that little, ooh, that doesn't sound right, that doesn't feel right, that doesn't walk right, you know? That's a little limpy when I'm doing something, you know? And it's not because I'm afraid. It's because I'm in love And I, you know, it's reverence, basically. So there is a difference. But by this time, we should be have that awakening, that born again experience. Okay? So spirit is truth, breath of life that lives in us. He's a gift. He's the gift that Jesus petitioned to the Father for us to have when he was no longer walking with us. He asked that the Holy Spirit, the same spirit that's in Jesus Christ, come and dwell in us, with us, and guide us and lead us into all truth. It's the he's a supernatural being that's living in us, which makes us have the ability to do supernatural things with the Lord, like lay hands on the sick, cast out demons.
Yeah, he's trying to do that stuff. He's in there trying to do it, but we're holding him up.
And we're holding him up because we're so stuck in our own self. We're in our own way, right? It's not, and sometimes we want to blame the enemy. And yes, there are some generational things and everything, but the first problem is me. Once I can get out and realize I'm the one that stinks in the pig pen, it's not everybody else, people, places, and things. It's not the judge. It's not my parents. Yes, there might be old wounds, but I can't sit in that wounded place. I got to rise above it. God resurrected. I resurrected with him. So we're not no longer in that muck.
Well, a religious spirit, we make it about us and not what Jesus did. It's like you see someone in a wheelchair. Oh, man, I can't pray for him. You don't know what I did last night. Like, it's about us. Like, it has nothing to do with
Amen.
Us. It's like the Lord. I keep telling the story. It just keeps coming to me, and he just gave it to me like 6 months ago. But if Luann was going to go to New York, and I had relatives lived in New York, and I'm like, Luann, you're going to see my brother. I need you to give him this $1,000. She said, oh, no, I can't do that. No, I'm not worthy. What do you mean you're not worthy? It's my $1,000. I'm just trying to give it to him. Oh, no. You don't know. I don't deserve that. I'm like, what is wrong with you? You know, I've given him my money. The Lord's trying to heal these people. He uses us, but we make it about us, and it's not about us. God wants to heal them, and we're holding them up. We just got to stand and pray, get out of the pride, and it's pride when you're worried about if he doesn't heal them. That's a total pride thing. It's not about us.
Amen.
We just do what he tells us to do. He said, lay hands on the sick, and they would recover.
All right, so step out. In that
faith. Yeah, that's when you'll see the big stuff is when you think it ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
So I'm telling you.
Especially if you're thinking right now, oh, I can never do that. Do it. Watch what happens.
Amen.
So we choose the measure of which we receive and what we believe and then how we're going to step out, like James was just saying. So relating to or affecting, and this is what the spirit is, the human spirit man as opposed to natural, the natural man, material things, a physical thing. So the spirit, the principle of conscious life is the vital principle in humans, animating the body or mediating between body and soul, your mind, mood, will, and emotion. And it's being aware of one's thoughts, feelings. So we have to get to a point where we know the difference between ungodly and godly, false prophets and prophets, God's word and the world's twist on it, right? And actions and from the old man, and that's the spirit, soul, and body of the old man, or the new man, and that's our spirit, soul, and body in the new man. So we want to be able to know the difference between the natural and the spiritual and be able to, in our conscious life, right now, here on earth, we should know the difference. It's discernment so that we can operate, take captive the thoughts, and operate in our most excellent way, align with values and goals. Now, we can choose negative values and goals or positive values and goals. We can choose good values, and he says the good tree and the bad tree, right? Or good, and the only thing that's good is God. So we want to cultivate a deep, meaningful relationship with God, capital G, or God, lowercase g, and others. It's up to us. Who are we making our God? Is it God of the Word of God, of the Bible? Or is it lowercase g gods, God of performance, jealousy? Go ahead, James. I know you're burning
up. You just said something. I'm like, because a lot of times I wait, and I don't know. Because you're talking about discerning prophecy. And
Amen.
When it says in the Bible, when one prophesies, let two or three judge. And how do you judge prophecy? Some people think you judge prophecy by whether it happens or not, which is not the truth.
Amen. I mean, Amen.
Agabus was a true prophet, and one didn't come to pass. And some of Daniel's prophecies haven't come to pass yet, but they will.
Exactly.
And then
so we can't rely on
the
that.
Lady that was following and saying, these are men of the Most High God. I mean, she was accurate, but she was not a prophet, the fortune teller. So discernment discerns the prophecy.
Amen.
The gift of discernment is what you need. And I'll tell you, there's different things that prophesy, and there's a spirit that will flatter you, and you'll receive it because it'll puff you up. And when you start feeling puffed up, beware, because you may be getting something that's not from God. So, and I mean, it should edify us, comfort us, but there's a lot of stuff out there that's received. It's not a Lord, you know?
Yeah. So in our conscious life, we need to know this stuff so that we can operate properly with the right directions, right? We want to, it involves cultivating mindfulness, gratitude, compassion, and connection with God, self, and others. God wants us to connect with Him in us. So ourself with God so that we can help others. Okay? So, and it's the Holy Spirit. He's the only thing that's good in here on earth with us right now. So His direction is always good, always God-led towards God. All right? So we want to have a spiritual, we can, in our spiritual walk, right? This is our conscious. This is why we have to have a healthy conscious life and know the difference. Take captive the thoughts. Know the difference. Know the word so that when someone comes to you, and I'm talking about just in general. If you know the word, I could watch a commercial and see where it's going because I know the word, the kingdom mentality. You know, like, oh, that's really not very good. You know what I mean? Like, you can make these, and we ought to judge not people, but the word. Like, where is it going? Like, that we are putting it in a, He's entrusting us to fulfill His word. That's a high calling. You know, if you think about it, you know, we're priests and kings in this world, and He's the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Hallelujah. So our spiritual joins with our natural, unites. We want our spiritual innermost true man identity to join in with our natural ability, which is our soul, mind, mood, emotion, like all the things that are influenced, right? But line up with God's word here. And when that happens, it's like our head in heaven and our feet on earth. And what happens? Our heart manifests as a miracle. Oh, that's so good. So if you want miracles like that, then make your will line up with God's will and your walk be in the right direction where God is going to put you, and miracles start to happen because they're His miracles. He wants people to see His glory. He wants people to see Him and draw into Him. So, and if you're a willing participant in His will, then He'll use you. But you, I know for myself, every day, it's putting my old stuff down so that I'm open, hands are free, mind is free for Him, my heart is free for Him, my feet, everything, so that He starts accumulating what I need for the day, whether it's a word, whether it's, sometimes I find myself, I never really have cash on me, and then like, when I do, I'm like, oh my God, that's why I had to have that on me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, usually it's to give or to do something, you know? And so He will lead and guide you. So we want to speak, breathe our words, truth, with our confession, with our words. We always want to talk and walk and act according to God's will. Proverbs 20:27 says, the spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart, right? Hallelujah. And we want Him to search our heart. I ask Him all the time, and that's when I ask Him, I'm like, do I really want Him to do that? But I'm sure He laughs and giggles. But I'm like, yeah, okay, God, I do, but you know deep down I'm a little bit you know. But he likes that. We're talking to him. Psalms 143:10 says, teach me to do your will. Just ask him, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. And that's what we have to ask him. He gives us all the answers. If you are not sure about something, sit with the Lord. Listen, I goggle it. Goggle it instead of Google it. I goggle it. Because sometimes I'm like, okay, God, what do you say about this if I'm in a situation? And scripture will come up, and then I'll read until I read what I believe, because you'll get that little nudge in your gut, and it'll be like, that's the one for you right now. And maybe there's several. I write them down, and I start to read them, right? So walk in freedom from sin, rebellion, spiritual bondage. That's what we're supposed to be doing. By this step, you should have the measure, the equipment, the tools, the supply to be able to do that when you find yourself falling back into deception or some kind of insecurity. Those all lies. Then you confront it. You move the mountain with your mouth and let it line up with God's word. Only the Holy Spirit can move the mountain. Let him speak through you. Hallelujah, right? So I wrote here, involves cultivating, and then God, self, and others. So who do you say I am is the big question. Who do you say God is in your life? Is God the most important thing? Alcohol? Then you got the wrong God. Is God the most important thing? Forgiveness? Then you got the right God. But if you don't know God because you're not spending time with him in his word, you can be easily deceived. And, you know, sometimes we think money or performance and all these things, or even like we were saying before, it comes in the form of control, but it actually comes in the form of helping others. But it's really, I want to control everybody or, you know, feel loved. And so we check our hearts and we ask God to search our heart so that we're coming from the right place with him when we're helping others. So David's prayer to God is deliver, teach, and make me alive in my spirit. This is the process of total deliverance of spiritual bondage. First it says deliver. So we repent of our sins. That's forgiveness. We ask to be delivered, right? And then teach me. He's like, teach. So it's to be taught the word, to grow in knowledge and faith and trust by hearing the word of God and the testimonies of others. Sometimes, you know, James, you know a lot of testimonies. It's important that even when we go to a meeting, it says, you know, we raise our hand and we share. Our sharing should line up with glory, healing, restoration. It shouldn't be murmuring and complaining. I mean, one thing I will say, I believe my first 30-something years ago, my first, we call them sponsors, I say discipleship. I believe she must have been a Christian. I didn't know much about Christians, because if I would have known she was a Christian, so I know that this, I probably would have thought she was a wackadoodle. She said to me, don't ever go in a meeting and vomit and don't clean it up, meaning don't have a solution. Always talk about the positive. Maybe you went through something, but how did you get out of it? You know, and I didn't know I was glorifying God. But, you know, you don't have to know him to know to line up with his word. But that's what I was doing, you know, because only God could have rescued me out of these dark places, you know, and brought me into the light of, you know, life, basically. So and then quicken of spirit is made alive, make me alive by the Holy Spirit, receiving, indwelling. But now the infilling is every day. Being obedient, putting down my will, my way, my thoughts, my actions, my needs, and surrendering all that and picking up God's will, his way, his needs to help another person, even to help me first. He wants to get in there and cleanse my heart. Hallelujah. And everybody listening here. So brings life and anointing power to break bondage of sin. First in me. If I'm going to help another person and I'm all beat up, first of all, the other person's going to look at me and like, oh, what this person thinks. You know what I mean? Like, we want to represent what it looks like to live in freedom, peace.
And God will draw all the people to you when you get healed up inside.
Amen.
In your heart, you know?
Yes. So when we go, we should have healing in that place. You know, if you're going to go and help somebody out of a bar and you want to drink every day, you're probably going to wind up getting drunk with the person. I mean, think about it. So it's not a good time to be doing that. You know, we want to be delivered, and we are delivered once we get born again, but our belief system hasn't been yet. Our faith isn't there. So we press in until it's engraved in our heart, and we know that we know that we are healed in those areas, that we are recovered. Not, and, you know, even the first 100 said we recovered from a hopeless state of mind, body, and spirit. So they declared it. They knew something. I believe they knew the Holy Spirit. They knew Father, Son, Holy Spirit, God in his fullness. And so they spoke that way.
And there's a lot of people that the enemy, it feels like God's heart, they want to go in like they haven't been out of the bar, had a dramatic transformation, and they've been out 3 months and they want to go rescue everybody. And it's just not time yet.
No.
You know, maybe later, but, and I've seen them over and over, and they, no, God's calling me, God's calling me, and you can't force them. And you, a few months later, they're back off.
Yeah, and it's harder to come back.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. So I say, I mean, I'm, you know, I share with a lot of, especially the women, you know, they're feeling good, they want to get back into certain things, and I'm always like, slow it down. Resting in the Lord doesn't mean stop. It means resting your will into his and not thinking about like all the things I need to be doing, I want to do, but just rest and let him direct you, you know, and take your time. You know, we say no relationships for a year. We, all these things, I mean, really, it's important because you want to get to know God. Your only relationship should be with God, at least for the first year, just you and him, so he can grow you up to be able to make healthy choices and know what to look for in people, places, and things for your life that line up with him. That's why we recommend that, because you can get yourself caught up in the weeds again very easily. So John 16:13 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit will point you to the Father and Jesus. He always does. He reveals the will of God. The Holy Spirit in you will reveal the will of God. There is no human power that can. He will lead you into all truth. And it says it in our literature, too, in 12-step literature, no human power, may you find him now, can relieve you of your sinful behavior, really. You know, thoughts. Not only behaviors, thoughts, words. Only God. And that's why even when somebody's not 100, where they need, where I believe they should be, I got to remember I'm not God. So if they're cursing or talking to me in a certain way, I have to, you know, back off and just have mercy and grace, you know?
Love.
Yeah. How can I help somebody if I'm judging them or trying to fix them? That's the whole point of step 12. We have to be in a place where we know that our thinking is lining up with God, right? So there is no human power that can relieve us of anything, only God. He will lead you into all truth, and only the truth makes us free. I know that some Bible translations, thank you, say set. But for me, I was given a quick teaching or a quick revelation by the Holy Spirit that to be set is, yeah, I can be set free, met several times, but to be made free is turning into truth. I'm turning into truth, which is beautiful. I love that a lot better than just being set free from lies, but to be turned into the truth in my thinking and my heart is a beautiful thing, because he's a creator and he wants to create me in his image and likeness, which is the truth. Oh, I love it. So principle of spiritual life, a life in the spirit, a focus on faith, God's will, not fear, not my will, right? Compassion, love, forgiveness, not self-centeredness, not selfishness, not unforgiveness, and a striving for a deep relationship and understanding between God, myself, and others. So between me and God, and then others, right? But if I'm not right with God, I can't be right with others. That's why I need to know that he loved me first, so that I have all the love. He gave me grace first, so that I have grace for another person. So whenever I go to help somebody, or even if I go wherever I go, I'm not in a needing position. I'm in a giving position. I like to be in the giving position. Praise the Lord. Right? And it's not that we don't need people. God puts a body together, and each one of us are called to be his fullness. So yes, there's things that we need in a body, but if without that, it's only through God in them that can help me fulfill something. And that's the difference. Okay. So we want to strive for help another. It's cultivating growing spiritual maturity. So we all start out as little wah-wah babies, right? When we come born again with little babies, like how we are in the natural. When you're born into the world, you're a little baby, and you need love and care, nurturing. And, you know, the difference is our Father loves and cares for us spiritually, perfectly. Maybe in the natural we didn't have it. Maybe we had a good father, no father, 10 fathers, one father, who knows? Good mother, no mother. When we receive Father God as our daddy, we have the perfect love and caring for us. So all those things that we were putting on people, places, and things, we don't need to look at that anymore. Okay. So God first, follow God through our prayer, meditation, and actions and obedience. That's how we follow him. So relating to or consisting of spirit, or relating to the spirit, true self, the spirit man, your true man identity. In the big book, in the Bible, he talks about the spiritual man. In the big book, it talks about the new man. So that's the same thing. Our soul, our heart, our spirit, the Holy Spirit in us, as distinguished from the physical nature, supernatural. This is our supernatural, the spiritual nature. The process of awakening from ordinary consciousness to the interior life, the innermost being, the subconscious, inner spirit man. And you know, our soul, I believe this. So the body is the conscious, the mind, the brain, but our soul is the inner subconscious. And when the subconscious gets the true information and gives it to the conscious, then we can act properly. So I wrote here, ordinary conscious to the interior life, and that's the subconscious, inner man, spirit man, rising above the ego, the self, and thinking in truth. Okay? So your spirit communes, and that means receives, unites, joins, and agrees with your soul. And that's your subconscious, your soul. And your soul, your subconscious, communicates. And that means share, testifies, witnesses, exchanges information, ideas, directions to your mind, your conscious, your body. Hallelujah. And that is your body, right? So you pass it on. You tell. You testify. That's why testimonies are so important. We share with one another what it was like, what it used to be like, and what it's like now. Romans 1:11 says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established." What is established? That's having been existence. That's having been existence for a long time. So God wants us established, walking in his will, his way, accepting, fix, set. It means to a state of living continually, continually living, walking and following him, having taken root in his word, all right? The way of life is rooted in his word. God's Spirit is to provide all your needs, your provision, your supply, everything you need for your life and ministry for His will and pleasure to be glorified, so that He can be glorified. There are spiritual gifts given to the believer for the purpose to glorify God and to empower us to love and serve others. So the Holy Spirit, as He sees fit, will give you a measure of gifts to help another person, to encourage, edify, and build up others. Gifts give the believer the power to carry God's will out and endurance to be strong in faith, the faith that is needed to resist the enemy called by temptation to prevent us from submitting to the sin by the word and deed. So by word and deed, so like we were saying earlier, I'm endured with power, Holy Spirit power, so that I can go in anywhere. I can eat the poison and not die. I can go into the bar and help someone. I can go into the insane asylum and not get myself all caught up and entangled with mental torment because somebody said something inappropriate to me. I know how to, at this point, all of us, should know how to not be entangled or caught up with deception, temptation, and false prophets, what the enemy's trying to do. Because he wants to come and still kill and destroy. He wants you to try to go out there and help someone and go into those dark territories. Because legally, he feels like he has a better opportunity to get you to stumble and fall. And if he does legally, then he has a legal right to come in and manipulate and kill, steal, and destroy. What we work so hard to come out of.
When she says legal right, just so they understand, she means where we don't line up the scripture, like unforgiveness, right. Things like that.
Right.
That's what we call legal rights. Right.
And, you know, let me just say this, because if you're not right and you're not spiritually fit with God in step 12, you're dealing with ungodly spirits. They will talk about things that you didn't even realize you thought you forgot about. They'll bring up something that can shame you in public or that. And if you're not fit with the Lord, you might fall because they might say something that you never really dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. And then because they know things, and then you're going trying to help somebody, and then the enemy, they're being oppressed by a spirit, and that spirit manifests and then looks at you and says, you know, it does happen, right, James?
Yeah, like it's, say you struggle with homosexuality.
Oh, yeah, or porn.
And you were delivered, yeah. And then he starts, the guy himself has no idea, but the spirit,
yes,
just starts coming to him, you,
right,
know, like, what are you, gay? And starts saying things,
yeah,
that he can't even know, but things. I was trying to think of something to, yeah, reference.
They or just, even like, yeah, you were watching porn the other night. They know things. They might say,
yeah,
something like that.
You run into,
yeah,
that.
You run,
they'll
into it. And that's what 12-step is.
Unrepentant sins.
It's deliverance. It's going out into those places to help people come into the kingdom, you know. So that's why, you know, having had that spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, meaning we cleaned house. We're full of God's furniture. His word is in us. So those other seven more spirits don't come in because we didn't fill it up. We just got sober and then want to go and help the world. That's why we said, take your time, do the work with the Lord, spiritually grow. This way you're a mature person going out to help another. And you're not vulnerable. Okay. Sorry, I'm very passionate.
I was just thinking
about
how
that.
Spirits just know things.
Yes, that's what I mean.
Besides even just this, I was praying for a guy trying to get his wrist healed, and I'm having to forgive an old girlfriend, and he's married with children, and he had ended up forgiving this girl, you know, that ended up coming to that. All of a sudden, his wrist is healed, and I'm leaving, and I said, just know she's going to call you tomorrow. He said, man, she moved out of the state 17 years ago. I don't even know what state that lady lives in. She ain't calling me. And I just kind of sternly turned around, which I don't usually do. And I pointed at him and said, you don't know demons. And I left. And the next day he called me. Oh, my God, I can't believe it. That woman just called me. I said, of course
That's
you
right.
did. Because those spirits know
Your weakness. Yeah.
To get back in, because they're in torment when we cast them out, because now they have no way
to
manifest.
To go. Mm-hmm.
Say like a spirit of anger or a spirit of lust. It can't manifest if it's not in a body. So it's getting released, all that manifestation feeling of anger through you. So you're in torment and it's in peace when it's in you. You get it out, it's in torment and you're in peace.
Right.
And they communicate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They can all communicate long distance.
Well, that's why that.
So that's why that lady called is because wanted to just get the door back open because that one wanted back in.
That's right, and that's why that scripture says he goes and he tells the other spirits, "Let's go."
Yeah,
I know a clean vessel. I know a vessel that has nothing, no word in it. You know, yeah. There's more room for us. So yeah, we want to be established in His Word. Okay, there are spiritual gifts. Where was I? To prevent us from submitting to sin by the word and deed, by word and deed. So when we go out, we have to be spiritually fit. It's exercise, exorcism, those things, and exercise the word of God in you. It is. It's spiritual exercise. So 1 Corinthians 12:7-11 says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongue, to another the interpretation of tongue. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. So it's the Holy Spirit giving us the ability to do these things to edify and encourage and to help others to come into the kingdom, right? To profit all from Him.
Yeah.
So talents can be learned. That's why we can exercise our talents and get better in talents, but gifts are given. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, now gifts, most people have two gifts. They are like their main giftings, but you can move in any of the gifts at any time. God's not going to go, I can't heal him because
right.
You don't have the gift of healing. Get Fred over there to pray. So you just put yourself in place and you walk in love, and
that's
God
right.
will pour all the gifts
yeah.
through you.
And, you know what? And then you get a spiritual awakening, even more enlightening with the Lord, because you're like, oh my God, I can't believe I was able to do that through you. You used me, Father, because, you know, like I always say, well, you know, one of my gifts is teaching or, you know, things like that. But if God tells me to lay hands on somebody, I'm going to lay hands on somebody.
Mm-hmm.
We always want to be open to that. And I just want to say, so the spiritual gifts are the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, the gift of prophecy, the gift of faith, the gift of healing, the working of miracles, discerning of spirits, different kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And maybe next week, because we're getting close to the end here, we will maybe talk about the gifts, and then
sounds
I can
good.
Continue this. And in the meantime, I just want to remind everybody that we have a Zoom tomorrow at 9 a.m. You can call me at 631-745-7980 if you'd like to join us on Coffee with Christ. And with that, you can I'll give you the Zoom information. With that, James, would you like to pray for us so that we can close out?
Father, we thank you for this
thank
day.
You, Lord.
Father, I ask you to bless everyone listening, Lord, and help us to be transformed into
yes.
your image, Father, and to walk in your ways, walk in your love and your forgiveness, Father, to
yes.
forgive and just walk in everything you've called us to walk in. I pray you stir up their gifts, Lord, and draw them to the callings in their lives. In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 So you're listening to WCNO. This is Kingdom Recovery. We're with you every Friday at 5. You can call the station if you have any questions for Kingdom Recovery, myself, Luann, or James. And that's 772-221-1100. You can always call me if you'd like prayer or any questions you have, and that's 631-745-7980. And tomorrow we have our Zoom call, so if you want some information, you can call me for that. And in the meantime, we just bless everyone listening, and we hope that you all join us next week here at 5 o'clock on WCNO. Shalom, shalom. Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power, where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980. All the glory to the God of life. All the glory to the God of love.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Welcome to Taken Studios, the podcast studio designed with you in mind. Whether you're preaching, teaching, or sharing your heart, we provide a professional space where your voice can be heard. With our state-of-the-art equipment, expert sound engineers, and welcoming environment, you can reach Barry at 727-422-4374.